Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Are you suggesting to me that heaven is actually a place?
Yes, sir.
Where is that place?
We don't know where it is exactly right
now. Then why would you ask a question, where do I go?
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. No pie in the sky when you die by and by.
That is a mischaracterization of the Christian gospel that fits the social agenda, which gets all caught up in this world and fails to understand that we are to set our affections not on this world, but on the world to come.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Two words, boo and who. This is Wretched Radio. Do you know that the next Super Bowl, which I believe is going to be XLV111, is going to be held in New Jersey? And maybe if you're doing the math, you're thinking to yourself, hey, meteorologically, it could be a little chilly there. And you would be correct. And because of that, I'm so sad. There's not going to be a halftime show. Oh, that's too bad. We don't get to see the pole dance again next year, or the wardrobe malfunction, or Madonna flipping somebody off. I'm really bummed that the Super Bowl won't be having a halftime program, unless they can figure out some way to deal with the climate there in New Jersey.
Don't they have a meantime, can sing?
They'll come up with something, I promise you. Because you know that Madonna actually outrated the Super Bowl? She had 114 million people watching her I think she was afraid she was going to fall and break a hip, quite honestly. 114 million people were watching her. Only 111 million were watching the game itself. So the halftime show has a huge attraction. I think, as we discussed yesterday here on Wretched Radio, we learned a lot about American males watching the halftime show and the commercials yesterday. But perhaps the better show that happened at this year's Super Bowl was not inside the dome, but it was outside. Some open-air preaching was going on from the Super Bowl Outreach. This is a group of guys who have been faithful to go to different Super Bowls every single year. They witness, they set up shop, they do some open-air preaching. Would like for you to hear some of it until you probably get a little bit annoyed. Here's the picture. There's a fellow, seems like a nice guy, doing some open-air preaching. He's got himself a little sound system. People are coming and going. Some people are watching. And this kid, if I had to guess, Joey, 18, 19, maybe 20 years old.
Yeah, right about there.
Dressed, kind of a normal-looking guy. He had some of the New Orleans beads on, whatever that thing is all about. And he's trying to shout down the preacher by, shouting him down. Now, just in case you don't understand the proximity of the young man to the open air preacher, basically he's kind of leaning into his face and yelling so we can't hear the preaching about Jesus. Now, perhaps you're thinking to yourself, I didn't think that it could deteriorate worse than, you ain't got no pancake mix. But apparently it has. We don't even articulate and use words these days to heckle the preacher. Now, maybe you're asking yourself, self? Yeah. How long did this go on? Well, the fellow stood there and basically yelled at the open-air preacher for 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Wow.
He finally got a little tired. Yeah.
I want you there, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, our hearts are wicked. The Bible says so. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is wicked and deceitful above all else. Who can know it? This is a great indicator. What comes out of his mouth is what was in the young man's heart. He's a God.
That is correct. That is correct. I fast-forwarded for your sake to 2 minutes and 20-some seconds. As this open-air preacher rightly points out, you're just seeing what is in the heart of every individual before God saves them. We are God-haters. He wasn't just pointing out that fellow. That is the state of all of us. You are either a follower of Jesus Christ or you're a God-hater. If you are not for him, you are against him. You're not kind of close. You're not moving in the right direction. You are for or against. Two options. Now, this is the fellow preaching after the guy, well, either got laryngitis or just got bored and walked away.
Apart from a supernatural work of grace of God, and I plead with every single one of you today to turn to him and live. Jesus has come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Run to the cross of Christ. Eternity is forever. Don't you get that? If I can shake every one of you and make you believe this, I would do that. Eternity is forever. And if you die without being covered by the righteous merit of another, there's hell to pay. Turn and live. Turn and live, ladies and gentlemen.
What a jerk.
He's probably racist, too.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Turn to Christ and live. I plead with everybody out here today, come talk to us. Eternity's at stake.
You know what else? I'm guessing he's a homophobe, and he probably doesn't want those scout leaders who are gay involved in the Boy Scouts.
10 out of 10 people die. 150,000 people die a day. And if they die without being covered by the righteous merit of Jesus Christ, because God is good and just, you will have to cast you into a devil's hell. And I don't want to see you go there. My friends don't want to see you go there. That's why we're out here, to offer you life.
That's just outstanding. So that was some of the show that was going on outside of the Superdome. Is that what they call it there in Louisiana?
Yeah.
The Superdome.
Louisiana
now,
Superdome.
Inside, of course, Beyonce was demonstrating that, wow, you've come a long way, baby. Basically, it was, I don't know how long the performance was. I did not
Too
have
long.
To see it. I saw, you know, I had to see a picture of it today.
You had to?
Well, I was copying an article. I copy articles and paste, because these days when you hit print on an article, sometimes it just prints out all the comments, and I don't like to read that much swearing as a rule. And so I'll just copy the article, and they embedded in the article, put a bunch of pictures of her. Honestly, girl, cover up. This is just shameless. It was basically a gentleman's, can we use the term gentleman's club, dance on national television. Mrs. Friel said, what were parents thinking? There were kids watching this. What are parents thinking? The majority of the men watch pornography, so they're looking at this and going, yeah, this is probably okay for Johnny. This ain't nothing compared to what I actually look at. So, of course, they were willing to let the kids watch it, and I suspect it will only get worse. Janet Jackson was the beginning. It is not done with Beyonce. Our whole culture. We hear the profanity. We hear the blasphemy on primetime TV. You watch the filthiness on primetime TV, it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. Thought this tweet was rather telling. Beyonce was phenomenal. I am so proud of her. Would you like to guess who sent out that tweet? As an American, I don't know that I've ever been more proud.
Her mom?
I wonder how mom felt about it.
Yeah.
That's guess, my girl. President? Oliver, now I'd be the one very close to the president, the floater.
Mrs. President.
Yeah, M.O., Michelle Obama. She was phenomenal. I'm so proud of her. Which part exactly were you proud of? Have we determined?
Because you could see most parts.
Yeah, that would be left nothing to the imagination. Honestly, Michelle Obama, I'm so proud of her. I think it was, what's the name of the kid? There's so many of these talk shows at night. The guy, Jimmy Fallon, said Beyonce literally killed it. Which raises the question, does he understand what the word literally means?
Yeah, hey, I think he does.
A commercial that aired during the Super Bowl that I was not aware of. Did you know that the Scientologist, they had to have paid over $7 million because I think it was $3.8 million per 30 seconds. They ran a minute-long commercial which basically offended, well, everybody who was paying attention.
To the curious, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge, to the ones who just want to know about life, about the universe, about yourself. Not cute questions, big questions, ones that matter. To the rebels, the artists, the free thinkers, and the innovators who care less about labels and more about truth. Who believe nonconformity is more than a bumper sticker. That knowledge is more than words on a page. You're young, you're old, you're powerful beyond measure, and the fuel of that power is not magic or mysticism, but knowledge. The things you see, the things you feel, the things you know to be true. Sure, some will doubt you. Let them. Dare to think for yourself, to look for yourself, to make up your own mind. Because in the eternal debate for answers, the one thing that's true is what's true for you.
Oh, I see.
There it is.
And what the tin cans say.
I see. And what the, however the tin cans diagnose your little problem. Scientology, they want to get a hold of your noggin, and they put tin cans, I kid you not, Campbell's soup cans and a string. What are the engrams?
Do they sponsor them?
Which engram meter?
Yeah, the engram meter, and then they put that to your noggin, and then they ask you a bunch of questions, and then they determine how much money, I mean, how many bad memories that you've got, and you've got to get rid of those through auditing, and that'll cost you, I mean, they'll walk you through that, and then they'll get you to the next level until ultimately you're Tom Cruise, which is basically, I think that's a goal worth, hey,
yeah.
This is very exciting. You know, they had a power outage at the Super Bowl. Now, this is pretty good, actually. The electric company, of course, which has the Superdome on its grid, they just showed up to figure out what the problem was, which is not bad.
Hey, you know how traffic can be in New Orleans?
Compared to the electric company at our house or the cable company, a voodoo priestess was asked, what do you think happened? And she basically said, I don't know. Voodoo priestess Miriam Chamani was once enlisted by a radio station to bless the Superdome using a live python and a pumpkin. Which really, Southern Baptists really, could sign on to that alliteration. You got a python and a pumpkin.
Like nothing else.
Before the Saints faced off against the Cleveland Browns in 1999... Voodooism, a big part of what goes on, apparently, in New Orleans. I have to confess, the Stevie Wonder commercial that aired on during the Super Bowl, that was creepy. Yeah. I didn't like that at all. The original commercials, I've seen the original commercials, I actually thought they were kind of funny. I don't know that they were great. I don't think they were offensive to the Christian faith. Where basically the guys, if it works, it's not foolish if it works. You know, they turn their beer bottle the same way, and then they kick the field goal. That stuff didn't bother me. But when Stevie Wonder was dressed in white and looking like a voodoo person, I think that's the term that they use for the people who are like the priests of the voodoo
child
business. It was creepy to me. I didn't like it at all. Legend has it that New Orleans Superdome is vexed by the angry spirits of the poor souls once buried beneath the stadium. Did you know that? Their remains uprooted by backhoes during construction of the Superdome in the 1970s. I didn't know that. Apparently there were thousands of people buried underneath there, and they just kind of put the thing over there, which started a little rumor that the Superdome is cursed, especially when their 2-12 record the first year kind of reinforced the idea that, hey, maybe they're onto something here. 30,000 people buried underneath there. Many of the victims had cholera and yellow fever. And so they put them underneath there. Now, the Saints, the New Orleans Saints themselves, actually bought into this whole idea of a curse. So they hired a voodoo priestess, I'm not kidding, Ava K. Jones, to perform rituals before the two games in 2000 and 2001. She's one for one, by the way. So she's batting about 500. Voodoo.
She's getting her the Hall of Fame.
Voodoo.
Yeah.
Voodoo. And the Saints are... Where's the ACLU when you need a separation of voodooism and football team or something? Hey, speaking of beer and voodoo.
Huh?
Yeah. In Bradenton, Florida, a man sees an image of Jesus in a beer case. Now there could be a revelation.
Oh, did you see the Doritos commercial?
Which one? There were a bunch
of
Doritos.
The one with the chip stain of Joe Montana.
I actually thought that was funny.
I thought that was good.
I especially liked the very end of it.
That was an appropriate mocking of us.
Yes.
What did they say at the end? Do you recall?
The wife looks at the kid. Where's my jersey? I washed it. It had a stain on it. And the husband, you know, about faints. And the wife looks at the camera. Go Ravens.
Yeah, right. mocking because the kid is the guy is eating some sauce. It spills on his shirt, and it looks like an image of Joe Montana.
Joe Montana, yeah.
So he's got these dreams that people are going to line up, and it's got the power to help him win the Super Bowl, and he's got his jersey framed, just like this guy who was walking down the street in Bradenton, Florida. He picked up a piece of cardboard because on the one side it had a symbol of the fish. Maybe he's an environmentalist, and he just wanted to pick up the litter. He was walking his dog. He picks it up. He describes himself as a devout Christian. But the religious symbolism became even more apparent when he took the cardboard fish home and flipped it over. I had it on the table, turned it to the back, and for some reason I said, "Wow, there's Jesus." He has plans to frame the image and one day pass it down to his children. And he's a devout Christian. You know, even a Unitarian Universalist would go, "I don't think so. I know. That's a little bit ridiculous." This is another... Was it Martin Lloyd-Jones who said the battle for the Bible will not be inerrancy in the future, it will be sufficiency? And this is another example of this, that we get extra revelation from God on a Dorito chip on the side of a freeway underpass in a waffle or now on a beer case. You know what the message is from that? Because it was on a Corona case. Don't drink Mexican beer is what the message was. I interpreted that. What? I actually interpret signs in the sides of beer cases. This modern-day voodoo is wretched radio.
Rightly dividing the Word of God is something every Christian should strive for. That's why we offer you Herman Hu. Hermeneutics. In just 75 minutes, the Herman Hu DVD gives you a condensed 16-week master's-level education on how to read the Bible rightly. And once you've learned, grab that DVD and your handy-dandy study guide and teach others. With Herman Hu, you'll never read the Bible the same way again, and you won't get fooled by false teachers. Herman Hu with study guide is available now at wretchedradio.com.
A Christian teenager who was facing a prison sentence for burning pages of the Quran has been completely cleared. Rimshah Bibi's case was dismissed last month by the High Court in Islamabad, Pakistan. The dismissal of her case is a victory for Christians in Pakistan, who are often unjustly accused of blasphemy.
Rimshah was accused by a Muslim cleric in her neighborhood, but her accuser was later charged with fabricating the evidence. He wanted to drive Christians out of the city. Rimshah spent several weeks in prison and is now hiding with her family. Though the charges have been dismissed, there's still fear she may be killed by militants.
Please pray that Rimshah and her family will remain safe. To learn what Christians in Pakistan and other hostile nations around the world go through for Christ daily, subscribe to the Voice of the Martyrs free monthly newsletter by calling 800-75-VOICE. That's 800-75-VOICE. Dial 800-75-VOICE. The Voice of the Martyrs is a Christian nonprofit organization.
The question of the day is, where does one find the phantasmagorical wretched resources heard about on Wretched Radio? That would be the Wretched Store. Wretched DVDs, CDs, MP3s, and tracks. And then, of course, the classy but cool Wretched mugs and Wretched wear. We're talking caps, hoodies, t-shirts, the new beanies. And best of all, your wretched clothing will most likely start a witnessing encounter or two. I mean, come on, you're wearing wretched on your body. Somebody's going to ask. The Wretched Store. It's open 24/7 at wretchedradio.com.
It's time for a drive-by minute.
Well, there's an interesting comparison I've heard for spiritual discernment, that it functions like the church's immune system. You think of a disease like AIDS and how AIDS doesn't actually kill people, in a sense. What it does is it destroys your immune system so that you can no longer beat off illness. I think spiritual discernment functions in much the same way within the church. It's the Christian's immune system. It's the church's immune system. It allows us to identify and overcome the disease of false doctrine, of false gospel. It's like the body's immune system. It responds to disease. It quickly identifies and quickly destroys and roots out what should not be there, what's foreign to it. But without discernment, we're like a body without an immune system. We're like a church that has AIDS. We're helpless and hopeless and easily destroyed.
You can get drive-by discernment and all of our drive-by resources at wretchedradio.com. What's your first reaction when you hear sharing your faith? For a lot of us, share your faith means scary. That's why there's Terrified, an MP3 disc of 26 witness encounters to give you the flavor of what it's like to share your faith And with its ever-popular step-by-step study manual, you will learn the biblical principles for how to share your faith and be in control of every encounter. Terrified, the MP3 disc and study guide available right now at wretchedradio.com.
If you sincerely do love me, then tell me the truth.
Sincerity is not the test for truth. History is full of people who were both sincere and wrong.
You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you very much. Already, some people are sending in some suggestions to idea@wretchedradio.com. If you can help me with my conundrum, I'd be grateful. Send it to idea@wretchedradio.com. Or, as always, of course, you can beep talk it.
Beep, 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 beep.
Hi, Mr. Todd. I just want to lovingly confront you about an issue that I don't believe is heretical, but it is an error. The white cheese that you told me to get at Costco with the cranberries in it was not all
no.
that wonderful.
No, no, no.
It was not that addictive.
No.
My kids just thought it was okay.
No.
But thanks anyway.
See?
But you're right about the crackers, the gluten-free crackers.
Oh,
right,
they're killing
the
it. Yeah, thank you for that. But, sir, oh, I did a rotten job then, sir. I led you astray. The white cheese with the cranberries in it, I said was fair, okay, because they do have that. It's just, it's okay. The one I was describing, sir, is a cranberry cheese log. There's a difference at Costco. And by the way, Mrs. Friel has informed me it's only seasonal, so you might not find it at your local Costco, which is a like a regular cheese log with cranberries wrapped all over it. Sir, repent to your children, and then try again. You might have to wait till the fall. I'm telling you. It is. Oh, God.
Hey, Todd, the question about Deuteronomy and Job not reconciling as far as stoning somebody. The thing is, Job was written before the law. It's the oldest book in the Bible.
That's
really
a good point,
too.
Yeah, that's
law.
Good. Yeah, that's a good point, sir. But you know what? I still would stand by my answer, though. But you're right. That's an excellent point. Most likely, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Well done, sir.
Church time. The Bible is meant to be your daily bread, not a cake for special occasions.
Church sign, Jesus believes in you.
Ugh.
Ohio church sign, Super Bowl Sunday. To God we are all winners.
Wait a minute. Throw in
Jack
the yellow flag. Romans 3:23 penalty.
Hey, speaking of the Super Bowl, USA Today, apparently the Sports Illustrated apparently is still in business. USA Today reporting that Sports Illustrated cover story this week asked the question, does God care who wins the Super Bowl? I don't like the question. I just don't like the phrasing of the question, but it is an opportunity to explain theology to some people regarding the Super Bowl. Does God care, like, I hope that the Ravens win? No. Because he doesn't hope for anything. He doesn't, oh, I just wish that God is sovereign. He permits sin. He allows sin. He doesn't like it. Now, I guess you could say that God, no, I wouldn't even put it that way. God desires things, but I wouldn't say that he hopes for things. God desires that all would be saved, that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. That, of course, doesn't happen. But it's not like, oh, I just hope that somebody gets saved. No, God saves, period. God knows who is going to win the football game, and he cares about the people playing the game. But God isn't going to be rocked because San Francisco does or does not win. God, as we talked about earlier, in every single detail, in every play that is run, he's working something out. He really... God is so involved in our lives. Let's just say that, who's the quarterback? Kaepernick. Kaepernick walks up to get the ball, and it's the fourth quarter, and he doesn't like what he sees on the field. So rather than calling for the snap, he calls a timeout. And you know what that means? The networks have another opportunity to sell you stuff, get more ad revenue, and they go to a commercial allowing Jim in Schenectady to use the laboratory, I guess it's lavatory, isn't it? The bathroom that he's been
because
waiting
to use. Because
the laboratory
is where Victor made the monster.
That's different. That's laboratory. Lavatory. I never understood that as a kid, why we needed that name. Jim in Schenectady needed to use the potty, and this allowed him to do that. Now, is that why God had Kaepernick call a timeout? And the answer is yes. Yes, it is. Along with Sally in Duluth, Minnesota, who then had the opportunity to run and check the brownies that she was baking for the little party they're going to have after the football game. And he also knew that Kaepernick would call a timeout, even though he knew that Jim was going to have to sit in the parking lot at Stuckey's and wait before he goes into the restaurant to hear the end of the game. All of it. Or because God knew that the game had to be a little bit longer, hence the two-minute timeout, because he knew that if the game stopped at that particular time, the network would be airing a TV show that would affect the salvation of Pablo in Pasadena. Everything. He is that involved in all the ramifications of all of the implications of every single play. So does God care? Yes, he cares, because he cares about people, and he's working things out. And this is a gospel story going on. We're moving towards something. We're moving toward a culmination of history. And God isn't just, well, I'm biding my time up here. I got the church. Well, they're sort of working it out. They're doing a little pre-trib, post-trib thing. They're a little confused on that. But I'm just kind of waiting for all things, and then Jesus will No, he's not. By the way, I was lovingly reprimanded that I was utilizing post-trib and amillennialism incorrectly. Received this lovingly from Josh, who said that post-millennialism believes that society will improve due to Christian influence to the point where Jesus' kingdom will come to the earth. They view their eschatology as optimistic, and the amillennialist and dispensational views as pessimistic. So, Josh, thank you for that. I will try to remember that. I do get them confused. They're confusing. God isn't confused about how this is all going to wrap up and how it's going to go. He's writing it! So, of course, he's involved in the Super Bowl. Now, not a lot of people realize this. Public Religion Research Institute finds 27% of Americans think, yeah, God cares. 36% of Southerners say that God plays a role in who wins. 36% in the Bible Belt think that God plays a role. God plays a role. Mm-hmm. God plays a role in who wins the... Really? Hey, I promise you, when the guy who sprains his ankle, you can thank God for that. Because he was involved. He either allowed it or caused it. What do you mean God caused a sprained ankle? Yep, his prerogative. He can do it whenever he wants to. He can kill any of us when he chooses. So when you see this game going on, 28% of Midwesterners, 20% in the Northeast, 15% of Westerners think that God is involved. Oh no, God is involved. I promise you that. And not only is he involved in that, he's involved in your life. It's not that he just looks on because the Super Bowl is the whoop-de-doo event of the season. He's that involved in your life. Do you know that, Christian? He's that involved in the life of the heathen. He is. It is a common grace that God gives even to the unbeliever, and he is involved in everybody's life. Everybody's life. He's orchestrating it all. So, Christian, if you're inclined to feel depressed or feel like, oh, God doesn't know what's going on in my life, he most certainly does. He's the one who's writing it. You say, is he writing the evil? He's allowing it. God doesn't sin, but he uses sin sinlessly. Don't ever for a second think that God is not in control of world events, and don't ever think for a moment that he isn't involved in every second of your life, too.
Actual church sign, go crazy, crazy, don't go crazy. Go crazy, what? Don't go crazy.
That must be something with the kids that they're into.
Crazy.
Hey, speaking of football, I'll paraphrase. This Manti, which is a Mormon name, that's from the Book of Mormon. Manti Te'o, is that how you say the fellow's name? Another story that captured the intention of the universe. I don't get it, but it did. apparently the woman who was having this phone relationship with him was actually a fella. In case the story wasn't any goofier, this is just puts the icing on the cake. Now, this guy, who apparently was the boy, who sounded like a woman, so you can't blame Manti Te'o, who claims to be straight. You can't blame him. He sounded, dude, talk like a lady. I'm telling you. He sounded like a goyle. I heard one of the recordings, and it's like, well, I could understand how he could be deceived by that. Well, apparently the guy now went on Dr. Phil, because this is America. And he said to Dr. Phil, he's struggling with his sexuality. The guy who was acting like a girl said he's struggling with his sexuality. He was attracted to the football player. And he said something, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm so confused. I'm so lost. I'm so messed up. That is the message of that Manti Te'o story. That's the message. Manti is messed up for having a phone relationship with somebody that doesn't even know or meet or see. He's messed up. Besides, he's lost. And this guy who is pretending to be a gal is messed up. Now, I know this story. There's plenty of jokes that could be written. But when I read that, I went, that's the story right there. There's the story. And I shouldn't need Dr. Phil to ask this guy a question for it to come out, for me to get it. Those poor people are just so lost. And that should have been where my heart went when I saw this story. I didn't watch much of it because I just thought it was dopey. But that's where my heart, where my Christian heart should go. Lost, lost, lost. Of course, look at these poor people that confuse to pretend that he's a girl. I mean, I remember hearing and just going, ay, 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 these sick people in the world. Right, they are sick. Like me. And they need a savior. And that should be the first place where my heart goes for these people.
Todd, here's my commentary on today's praise and worship music. Todd, here's my commentary on today's praise and worship music.
You're funny.
Todd, here's my commentary on today's praise and worship music. I don't like it.
Somebody, look at this. Scott sent this into idea@wretchedradio.com. Repetition in today's contemporary music is ridiculous. I know they sing about God's love, and then God is love, God is love. Love is God, and is God love? Yes, he is, because God is love, and love is God, which he isn't, by the way. God is love, but love isn't God. God is, am, were, are, will be in the future. Love, love. Okay, you get the point. By contrast, here's O Fount of Love. Same theme, different way of presenting it, rather than just saying God is love, 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 love. He's love, he's love, he's really love, and I think it's groovy because he's love. O fount of love divine that flows from my Savior's bleeding side, where sinners trade their filthy rags for his righteousness applied, mercy cleansing every stain, now rushing o'er us like a flood. There the wretch and vilest ones stand adopted through his blood. Now, that's a song about God's love. I could sing that.
Hi, I'm a paramedic, and I was listening to the songs of the Jesus culture, knowing with the flowing and the encounter and the feelings and the things that they are wanting to feel and sense. It really sounds very, very scary in the resemblance to a drug high, which is some sort of an emotional, spiritual high. It's the same exact lingo, signs and symptoms, really, that we see in medical patients that were looking for that next high, that next experience to get them up and above where they're at now. Very eerie in the resemblance.
And that doesn't really surprise me. There's something about that I think you're right, and it's not unusual. Pagans do this. Pagans use peyote. Pagans will use drugs to get them a high, to be connected to the divine. That's the pharmakia that is warned about. I want to say Ephesians 4. This is what the sorcerers would use. They would use drugs to get them in contact with the divine. Well, Jesus culture doesn't use the drugs, but they get them into a drug-like state through the methodical, repetitious hypnotism. This is Wretched Radio.
Pornography is an epidemic, and no one's immune. Men, women, children.
pastors. Anyone can be affected, and the epidemic is growing. If you can't break the porn addiction, get Slaying the Dragon. We believe this CD has two principles that everyone needs to hear to slay the dragon of pornography. Why put your career, your family, even your soul at risk? Don't let porn win. Get Slaying the Dragon now at WretchedRadio.com.
This is John MacArthur welcoming you to Portraits of Grace. When Jesus pulled in an overwhelming catch of fish after the Apostle Peter hadn't caught anything all night, Peter responded, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Well, Peter's response was natural. Any sinner in the presence of holy God is going to be overpowered by his sense of sinfulness and has every reason to fear. And he knew Jesus was God because he commanded the fish. But God doesn't leave his people bowed down in awe or overcome with fear. The Bible promises that the Lord will exalt the humble. If you're humble in spirit, saved by grace, you will be exalted ultimately to glory. And one day you'll be raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places, the Bible says. Praise God for your humiliation and your exaltation as he makes you a portrait of his grace.
As Christians, we have quite a heritage, 21 centuries of church history, and you can learn about your legacy on your way to work with Drive-By Church History. Drive-By Church History tells his story, our story, and your story in 47 short lectures. And after listening, you'll not only know this history, but you'll be equipped to defend it. Join Todd, Pastor Bob Glenn, and Dr. Peter Hammond for a rousing trip through Christian history. Drive-By Church History, available now, along with the entire Drive-By series at WretchedRadio.com.
Now here's a clip from one of our favorite pastors here at Wretched Radio. This is Alistair Begg.
The man or woman of spiritual maturity is aware of what they are not. Is aware of what they are not. Most of our society is constantly urging us to be aware of what we are and what we have achieved and what we have done and so on. But maturity in Christian living is actually, has its beginning, an awareness of what I'm not. Christian maturity is not exemplified by high-sounding talk, but in a life of humble, steady consistency. It is a sign of immaturity to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Maturity rejects exaggerated claims. Maturity is marked instead by a sane estimate of our spiritual progress.
Typically, you don't find our wretched resources in Christian bookstores and churches. Do you ever wonder why that is? So did we. That's why we created Wretched Wholesale, where Christian ministries can come and order quantities of wretched resources at wholesale prices. Hence the clever title, Wretched Wholesale. This way, you'll never be far from a copy of The Biggest Question or Drive-By Theology, Drive-By Parenting. For all the details, go to WretchedWholesale.com. WretchedWholesale.com.
Do you really want to be the subject of some alien autopsy show on the Fox Network?
Many evolutionists have determined that the question of the origin of life on Earth is answered by the idea known as panspermia. Panspermia teaches that life floated down from outer space. Yes, these evolutionists are adults who drive automobiles.
You're not allowed to talk anymore.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Story time here on Wretched Radio. From Rick Thomas. Not sure that there is a man better able, better equipped to apply the gospel to marriage specifically than anybody else on the planet. Paul Tripp, he's another guy. I'm telling you, Paul Tripp has been hitting it out of the park lately with probing articles, helping us understand, all of us understand, the idols in our hearts. When you dig down underneath the manifesting sins, the stuff that shows up on the front, whether it's anger, pornography, the way you treat your family, that's just the presenting stuff. You got a deeper issue, and you got to dig down. And typically what you're going to find at the very bottom of your heart is a big throne, and you're sitting on it. And you got to get yourself out of there. Paul Tripp doing magnificent work with that, writing so as if he's been looking in my house. And Rick Thomas, regarding marriage, this guy just rocks. By the way, he's the one in Joy in the Home, Drive-By Marriage, available at wretchedradio.com. Telling the story of the other day he was trimming back some briars behind the fence in the backyard. He caught his arm on some of the briars. One of the thorns broke the skin and made a slight laceration on his arm. It was hurting. It began to bleed. The pain would not go away. So Rick yelled at his arm. Anger was his way of fixing the problem. He became kind of critical of his arm because it messed up his day. If only his arm would cooperate, not hurt, then his day would be better. But it wouldn't cooperate. And his arm continued to hurt, and he continued to stew and sulk because of his uncooperative and weak flesh. He then had this thought. Hey, what would it be like to not have this arm? I think I'd be better off. And his mind began to drift to other arms, better arms. And he thought that life would be like, ooh, if I just had a healthier arm. If I had a different arm. Oh, it would be so good. So at his church meeting on Sunday morning, he caught himself looking around to see what other arms were available. And he let his mind wander and wonder. He fantasized briefly, but he still fantasized about life without another arm. Though he knew it was a wish gone awry. Because at the end of the day, he was just stuck with that old arm. Have you done that? Not with your arm, but with another part of your flesh, your spouse. Remember, when you got married, it is a one-flesh union. So when you look at your spouse and go, oh, wish I didn't have that spouse. Oh, things would be so much better without that spouse. I got to get rid of that spouse. You're doing the same thing that Rick was, well, actually just spoofing about with his arm. You can't cut off your arm to go get another arm. Why would you do such a ridiculous thing? Why do so many people think, if I just get rid of this woman, that other woman, that one's going to work? You, first of all, you're kind of missing a step. It is a one-flesh union. You are vitally connected and dependent upon the other person. And there should be no schism, no fracture, ever in your marriage. The body shouldn't say to the arm, I have no need of you. Why? Ephesians 5:29 through 30, Rexella, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. And so Rick asks some questions. Number one, are you and your spouse competitors or friends? John 15:15. You say, whoa. They'll know we are Christians. They'll see your unity. God loves unity among the brethren. And if you are married to another believer, they're a brother or sister. And you should be friends, not competitors. Is your spouse your best friend? Explain. Hey, Al. Do you think mommy is my best friend? Yeah, thank you. Good answer. No beatings today for you. If not, how are you working to change this? If part of your body is rejecting you, or if you are rejecting part of your body, you will soon die. The rejecting part may have to be amputated. A body part not assimilating into the body is diseased. So if you and your honey are not acting like a body, like a unit, you got some problems, and chances are pretty good you are heading down a road to severance. That is where it is going. And you need a reorientation. You need to remember what marriage is, and you need to remember what it is grounded in and the profound nature of it, and that you, if you are united to Christ, if that is your foundation, then you should be living that way. Now, sorry for the plug, but it's not a plug for us. Although I could plug Drive-By Marriage, available at wretchedradio.com. Rick Thomas has a website. And you had to pay every month to be a part of it. I think it's $5. I'm telling you, it is worth it. He has hundreds of articles that will help you get your marriage on track, that will write it. And this is my recommendation. Go there and sign up. Go and sign up. And then look around. Just look all over the... What article catches your fancy? because he writes on so many different perspectives and angles inside of a marriage that you will find something that is helpful, and it should be a priority if you're a Christian. RickThomas.net. Now, this is an example of the profound nature of the man and woman relationship that God created. I think I had mentioned the other day an article that I just started reading from Equip.org by a Dr. William M. Struthers, Ph.D., The Effects of Porn on the Male Brain. Now, this is not yet another lecture on pornography. This is actually a reminder of how brilliant God is and what he has given to us, the intimate act between a man and a woman, what it does. And this guy took a look at it really from a physiological way. Let me share with you from this article, and I think that you will be reminded why you should work for intimacy in marriage, why you should be working toward a great relationship with your honey, and your eyes shouldn't be wandering, and you most certainly should not be looking at pornography. He's talking about the addictive properties, the long-lasting effects of pornography. And he asked this question. What if our sexual drive and our neurological nature, in other words, the way God put you together, the friskiness that you have, along with the way that he's wired your brain, if they are wired for intimacy and not just sensuality? There's a big difference. Porn is sensual. When it's a relationship, though, between a real man and a real woman, that is intimacy. And so he examines how pornography affects the brain hormonally, neurochemically, and the neurological consequences that play a role in developing attachments, bonding. By the way, you can't bond with a computer, and that's really one of the big problems here. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, whenever you get into the brain, it makes me a little bit nervous because I'm a Christian. And God, he just, you know, he's got a conscience in there, and I don't want you to explain to me that there's a conscience region in the brain. You shouldn't be intimidated by that. We think God's thoughts after him. Like we do in studying nature, we call that science. When it comes to the human body, we're just trying to figure out how God does stuff. So just because we figure it out, it doesn't intimidate us, it doesn't scare us, it just explains how God does things. And this fellow writes, Dr. Struthers writes, the impact of viewing pornography hijacks the normal functioning of the brain, and the maladaptive patterns we adopt have profound psychological, I'm going to call them emotional, and behavioral effects. It affects not only how we form memories and make attachments, but also how we understand sexuality and how we view each other. You keep hearing the word attachment and bonding. Intimacy bonds you, and we're going to hear that as he takes a look at pornography through a chemical and a neurological perspective. Intimacy brings you together with another human being. Let me tell you why I am so concerned about our society today and for the future. Bonding. Bonding happens when you're a baby, when you look into the eyes of your mother and father, when they hold you and cradle you, and you get an intimate look into another person's soul through their eyes. And bonding happens. And without that, kids have problems. Period. Attachment issues are huge and profound. And if it doesn't happen between a mother and father and child right away at birth until the age of one, at least, problems ensue. And I believe we are seeing more problems in our society because of the lack of attachment and bonding thanks to daycare and child care centers. Yep, I said it. Now I'm concerned on another level. If attachment and bonding between a man and a woman, because that's the way God built us and made us, is not happening through the intimate act, but instead guys are spending most of their days looking at computer images of women, uh-oh, you've got another societal fissure, a big crack. And that is the lack of bonding between man and woman. So now you've got the familial bond between parent and child, and you've got the marital bond, both of which suffer because correct bonding and attachment isn't happening because of what is going on in our society. Let me share this with you from Dr. Struthers. Pornography takes human sexuality out of its intended purpose, the establishing and deepening of intimacy between two human beings, and makes it a product to be consumed. So human beings become objects of consumption rather than individuals requiring dignity. God has built us so that with the act of intimacy, a bonding, an attachment happens. When you look at pornography, you're not dealing with a person, you're dealing with a pixel. And your brain gets confused. He writes, if we understand sexuality as being first about intimacy, then viewing pornography becomes a voyeuristic invasion of the sacred space of another. It provides a false or counterfeit way of feeding the need for intimacy. So pursuing sensuality, you wreck your intimacy. It provides a false, a counterfeit. The undeniable message here is that people are pieces of meat for our consuming pleasure and entertainment. The objectification and making them commodities will seep into other parts of the viewer's mind. It will affect the way you view people when you are watching pornography. Each woman then that you see in the future will be seen through a pornographic lens. Uh-oh. Pornography. Not good for women. While it offers the promise of intimacy and connection, it lies. It delivers isolation, disconnectedness, and depravity. Why? Because God has built us for intimacy. There's something inside of us called mirror neurons in the frontal and the parietal lobes in the top of your noggin. These neurons are involved in the process of how to mimic behavior. They actually call them monkey see, monkey do neurons. You see something, you learn how to mimic it. That's what you learn as a child. That's what you learn as an apprentice. You watch somebody, and then you mirror it, and it's a wonderful way to learn, watching others. But it can have negative effects. Think pornography. What are you watching? Intimate, private behavior between two human beings. And you shouldn't be involved. As men watch the sexually charged screen, they vicariously mirror this, which then triggers, sorry for this, arousal, the need for an outlet, and when he acts out, which is almost always what happens with the viewing of pornography, this leads to hormonal and neurological consequences which are designed to bind him to the object he is focusing on. In God's plan, that would be whom? It should be his wife. But for many men, it's the image on a screen. And so pornography then enslaves the viewer to an image. Do you wonder why some guys can't get off of pornography? It's neurological, because it's counter to the way that God made you. You are not so seeking fulfillment in your spouse, but in something that isn't real. And you're getting hijacked. The biological response intended to bond a man to his wife, and therefore inevitably loosening that bond. When a husband and wife restrict themselves to each other, directing their sexual energies toward one another, they will find they occupy each other's thoughts. No wonder why marriages crumble with pornography. You watch that intimate act, your neurons go goofy, and that's all you think about. I gotta have more, I gotta have more, I gotta watch more of that. As opposed to thinking that about your wife, which is the way that God planned it. God planned it that your brain would work this way through those acts, so that all you would do is think about your honey. And you know what happens when you do? Oh. Then marriage and life is sweet, and pornography kills that. Until next time, go serve your king.